Hi, this is Fabi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like
Jesucristo Redentor, ¿a dónde te llevas mi refrigerador? Show, show, show.
Hello, hello, hello.
¿Cómo estáis, tío?
¿Cómo estáis?
Ajá.
Estáis, estoy muy bien. What's going on?
Nothing. Aquí recibiendo el año, buscando nuevos horizontes.
Ajá. Just looking for the notes, just like our friend Mariah Carey.
Dios mío, oh. ¿Lo viste?
Oh, my gato con queso. That was
delicious.
So... It was painful to watch.
Pobrecita. Yeah. Ay, payasa, pero el glamour...
But don't call me that. el glamour que...
She doesn't give a shit. Have you seen her show? Her reality
no.
show? Every single frame is designed for her boobs to shine.
Yeah.
They're like gold. Like, you look at them and you become like a statue. You have to be very careful.
Mariah Carey, man.
Oh, man. It's very interesting, but... That debacle just kept going and going and going and going. Oh, it was
yeah.
It was
if
too
you don't
good.
Know what we're talking about Mariah Carey's New Year's Eve performance. Oh my gosh! At Times Square.
At Times Square, out of all places in this
and
country.
And apparently, like her earpiece didn't work, and she couldn't hear the monitors, so she couldn't lip sync to her music.
Oof. Oh, it was good. Mm. She didn't care. I saw memes on there that said, oh, the perfect ending to the new year. So, mm-hmm. But hey, what are you eating over there?
This is a little tamal guatemalteco that my grandma made. It's got pork inside of it.
Uh-huh.
What'd you think of the tamal?
I thought it was really good. I like mushy stuff. Mm-hmm. I like stuff like that. So I thought it was really good. And, I ate the whole thing. When you gave it to me, I was like, there's no way I can finish this whole thing. Pero mira, ya me lo acabé. I didn't even save any for the podcast.
It's so different than a Mexican tamal, right?
It is and it is not. Like, it's a tamal. It's just a little bit more wet. So it was really good. I mean, after seeing the videos of your family doing the masa on Instagram, like I knew I was going to love it. So it was pretty good.
I'm glad you liked it.
And I'm having Doritos with that and a mocha. It's quite a combination. It's going to be
quite
an interesting, it's going to be an interesting episode.
quite an interesting, interesting bowel movement. So, what did you do? What did you do for New Year's Eve?
Girl, I as I said before, I just went and saw the fireworks at the Strip. And remember those wine in a can that Karina gave us in Denver?
Yeah.
I drank them all. But I was like, oh, you know, it's like a juguito de uva. Mm. Wrong idea. I was so drunk and I tried to watch Priscilla, Queen of the Desert because I've never seen it before.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, man. I don't know if it was because I was drunk or it's not that good of a movie, but I wasn't into it. Mm. But I get it. I got to give it another try.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's all right.
It's a pretty movie. It's a good looking movie. So
yeah,
I can complain, but no, that's all I did. And I went to bed like around 4, just trying not to throw up. I was so scared of going to bed and, you know, I keep remembering the episode of Breaking Bad when the lady dies because she chokes in her own throw up. I was like, I'm not going to do that. So I couldn't go to bed. And you're done with your lunch.
Oh, my. Thanks for that. I'm just trying to eat this.
¿Y tú qué pedo? I know you also.
Well, I didn't want to do anything for New Year's, but then all my friends were like, are you going to have a party in your studio? And the day before, I just decided to do it, and so I was here.
Mm-hmm.
Cleaned up the studio, and everybody came over, and we just hung out, played music videos on my projector. It was fun. It was a great night. You know, great friends. Some people spent the night because they were too drunk to
Who won
go
the
anywhere.
Contest? Tell everybody about the contest you had.
And we were inspired by... So we have this friend, Catherine and Sean, that always throw parties, and they always have games at their parties. So we went to their Christmas party this year,
mm-hmm.
and they had a spice challenge. There was 5 different spices, mm-hmm. and you had to guess the correct spice, and whoever guessed the correct spices, like,
won
a prize.
Yeah.
So there was, like, cumin in a jar, like star anise.
Like, are you sure?
I don't know. It was, you know, white people shit. So for my party, I invited them, and they weren't able to come, but I did 5 different flavors of hot Cheetos, mm-hmm. and then people had to guess what hot Cheeto they were.
Just by looking at them? Or
no,
they had to,
by
they
tasting
try
them.
It. Oh, okay.
Yeah, by tasting the hot Cheeto.
And who won?
My friend Sarah. Shout out to Sarah.
Sarah!
Okay, this is the flavors. There was regular hot Cheetos. So to be exact, Cheetos, crunchy, flaming hot, originals.
So you gave extra points for all of
them. Yeah.
Ooh, girl.
The ones with lime were another flavor. The extra, extra hot were another one. The jalapeno cheddar were another flavor. And then when I went to Tijuana a couple days ago, I brought back Cheetos from hot Cheetos from Mexico.
Tricky.
So that was the wild card. That was the curveball.
And she got it.
Yeah. Well, she wrote original crunchy hot Cheetos.
Okay.
So she was the closest.
Okay. That's good. That's good. And what was the prize?
I made a little hot Cheeto piñatas and I gave it to her.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
They have a treasure piece of art that they can take home. That's a good price. So now that we're ready to talk about our crazy New Year's, let's talk about what we listened to in the past year, because I know you mentioned in the past that we both love music, but after hanging out with me, because I'm obsessed with music, you've started to pay more attention. So we thought it would be a good idea to share some of our favorite songs. Also, a little bit in the format of Radio Menea, which is one of our favorite podcasts out there. And they listen to a song and they talk about it. So that's kind of what we're going to do today. But we have a little bit more surprises.
So today's episode is inspired by Radio Menea. It's called Radio Lonchea.
Chout!
And we're going to pick 3 of our favorite songs of this year. And then our favorite album of the year. That's a separate category.
Yes.
And then we're going to talk about a shared favorite album together.
Yeah, like the Latinos Who Launch album of the year.
So this should be really fun. So do you want to go first or should I go first?
Go first.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, my favorite song of the year, one of my favorite songs, comes from an artist who I did not like very much back in the day. And she has won my heart over the years. And her latest album, Anti, came out this year. And the record of 2016, of course, is the song Work by Rihanna featuring Drake. Qué huevona la Rihanna ni puede.
No puede ni hablar.
No puede ni hablar. That's one of the reasons I love this song, is because she's like, well, she doesn't give a fuck anymore.
This is a song for the Instagram generation where they can get rich out of just doing like a little bit of work.
I love this song. I don't know what you're talking about. But one of the main reasons is because Babelito and I go to a workout class.
Yes.
So there's a I love the dance that we do to this song. But something that I found through the song that's even more magical is this YouTube video. There's this guy on YouTube.
Yeah.
His name's The Fitness Marshal.
Uh-huh.
And he is amazing.
I haven't seen any of those.
You
videos.
Haven't seen it?
No.
Oh my gosh. Uh-oh. Okay, so it's this guy, right? Uh-huh. This like tall white dude who does workout videos. I think he was in the army or something because his name's The Fitness Marshal.
Yeah.
Right? He does a workout to work and it is awesome. Let's play a little bit right now just so you guys can hear it.
Okay.
All right, so I need you to pretend that you work at a restaurant and you are about to serve some dishes. I'm gonna be serving tea. I don't know what you're serving, but we're gonna go clear the table, grab your plate, serve the dish, then you get your money. Go clear the table, grab your plate, serve the dish, get your money. One more time, just so we're all on the same page. Take it right.
What the fuck was that?
It's so good. If you you can stop what you're doing and go, it's The Fitness Marshall on YouTube and look for work. And it has become a party favorite during Cousinsgiving. All my cousins, all my Guatemalan cousins came over.
Oh, I've seen the videos on Instagram.
Did the workout videos after Thanksgiving in my studio. And then last night at New Year's, we were doing it too. But anyway, back to Rihanna.
This song, I didn't like at the beginning. I was like, really? This is so simple and stupid. But because we keep hearing it at Mixfit, I found myself wanting to hear it again and again and again, and the dance moves stuck to my head. And you know, this also is a theme for a lot of the music that has come out this year. There's like a sense of minimalism. There's just like very basic rhythms. If you think of Frank Ocean, if you think of Rihanna, like there's not this, I mean, the productions are huge, but they're not like this big, gigantic stadium orchestra songs. They're so basic.
Yeah.
And they're doing so good. And there's also this Caribbean, Jamaican undertone that for Rihanna it's perfect. It's a really good song. Yeah. Like, in retrospect, it is a great song of the year.
And Champagne Poppies on it. So yes. You can't go wrong with that.
Pero ya no están juntos, ¿verdad?
No, girl. Did you see him with J-Lo?
Yeah, I saw somebody. Somebody said, this is a black guy who wants to be Latino, and here is a Latino lady who wants to be a black girl. So it must be. It's gonna be interesting. I don't think they're gonna be together for a long time, but we'll see.
Whatever. I can't wait to see what happens. He's kind of Drake is so corny. He's so fucking corny.
I
can't wait.
I can't. All right. Drake. Mm-hmm.
What's your pick?
Oh, what a roller coaster. So my
cálmate, que exagerada,
bitch, wait. So the next song, my pick, and I'm going in a chronological order for events that happen in the year. It's Alexander and Winters from the album Amiga. The song is called Manifiesto, and we talked about it a little bit in the Orlando episode. But let's listen to it, and then we'll discuss.
Me acosté a caminar durmiendo. Dios, déjame salir del centro. Navegué y me ahogué en la inmensidad de los bichos raros, niños sueltos que piden por salir del suelo. Ver amor, revolución, mujeres en verdad. Hoy soy mujer. Hoy soy mujer.
God, very serious.
It is very serious. We talked about it in terms of the massacre in Orlando at the beginning of the year because of the lyrics. The lyrics talked about. I read an interview with him, and he talks about how this was in the perspective of a gay person trying to deal with like everyday life in a small town, and the lyrics are about that. About that he can be whoever he wants to, regardless of where he's at, you know? But what I like about Alexander and Winter is that...
Say his name again.
Alex and Winter.
Okay.
We'll put the
Alex
link.
And Winter.
Yes, Alexander and Winter. Okay. And he's been around for a while. He was part of a band called Teleradio Donoso. I think they released their first EP around 2007. And then he released solo stuff 2010. And 2011 is one of my favorite albums, Rebelde. But he's part of this wave of Chilean pop music. Uh-huh. But it's almost like in order for you to be part of this Chilean pop wave, there's got to be the queerness undertone. Mm. There's Javier Amena. There's so many bands that it's all about that. Even if the actual band members are not queer, yeah, there's a sense of queerness to all of the songs. And I think the person that is leading this wave is Alexander and also Jepe or Jepe. I don't know exactly how you pronounce your name. And both of them came out with an album called Alex y Daniel from 2013. But this album, Amiga, it's my favorite because it's an ode to Juan Gabriel. When you listen to the arrangements, oh my God, it's so beautiful. When you listen to the arrangements or even just the lyrics, it's mm-hmm. it's all about a relationship between a gay guy and his best girlfriend, right? So the whole entire time where you're listening to the album, you don't know if he's singing to his best friend. You don't know if he's singing it to his mom. You don't know if he's singing it to a lover. And that's what Juan Gabriel did.
That's Juan Gabriel, yeah.
Yes, what he did throughout his entire career. And there are songs where there are the arrangements you can, you swear you're listening to songs by Juan Gabriel. Also, at the same time that he released this album, Amiga, he also released a movie that was it wasn't received that well, but I think it will be interesting to watch it. The title of the movie is Nunca Vas a Estar Solo, and it is based on the murder of a gay guy, Daniel Zamudio, in March 2012. I don't know if you heard of that. Mm-mm. But he was killed by neo-Nazis in Chile. So the movie is based on that, and the movie was released pretty much at the same time as the album. So again, there's all these ideas about being gay, the freedom of being gay in Chile in general, uh-huh. and it's the tone of the album. And I chose this song because it's the centerpiece of the album, but also tells us so much more about what's happening in Santiago de Chile. In fact, there were no laws protecting gay people in Santiago de Chile before this murder. So it's almost, again, this manifesto, the idea that he's declaring that he's gay regardless of where he's at, it's absolutely essential, especially today in this world.
Well, I have to listen to it. I have not heard that yet. That song yet.
You've heard Siempre es Viernes en mi Corazón.
Siempre. Siempre es Viernes en mi Corazón. That's the same dude.
Oh, dude. I like that song. And you even said when you heard this song, you're like, oh my God, this is so gay. Because it's another manifest of being gay. And also there, from the past album, Cómo Puedes Vivir Contigo Mismo, it's if you look at the video, it's mm-hmm. this whole thing about being a drag queen and being who you are and the dance floor and everything we talked about in the Orlando episode. But I went for this song because it's so simple. It doesn't need, again, going with the theme of minimalism, it doesn't need all of that, but to really punch you in the face. So yeah, that's my first first song. Qué dramático, ¿verdad?
Wow.
Te toca, güey, te toca.
Okay. All right, so I know we're supposed to stick to 2016. Mm-hmm. But most of my picks are actually full albums, but I'm just going to pick one song from them.
Yeah.
Just because when I find a good album, I just play it over and over and over. So Anti, I played it over and over again.
The whole entire album?
Yeah.
I yet to listen
to the whole
thing.
That Tame Impala cover?
Yes. It's just a copy with his song with
yeah,
her voice.
Yeah, it's great.
But
it's
I still
great.
Like Rihanna's version.
Yeah,
better.
Another album that I played over and over and over again was Erykah Badu's mixtape, and I know it came out late last year, but I love that album. And if you listen to it, it's called "But You Can't Use My Phone," and it's about how much we are attached to our fucking cell phones.
Obsessed.
And so every single song is about that. Some of the songs are covers. It's a really, really, really fun album and such a great statement.
Let's listen.
One of my favorite songs is Phone Down. And so that's what we're going to play right now.
I can make you put your phone down. 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 can make you put your phone down. I can make you, I can make you, I can make you put your phone down. I can make you put your phone down. Let me cruise through the city. I can make you put your phone down. You ain't gonna text no one when you with me. I can make you put your phone down.
Girl, that song starts.
She can make me put my phone down.
And you know what? I wasn't into her a lot either. But after this album and after seeing her live.
And that's another thing I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. We saw her live this year and she performed most of these songs. And it was amazing.
It was perfection. The second the first note started in the concert, I was like, I'm in.
What a presence.
Ay, esa Erika Badu.
Ay, Badu, Badu.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Yeah, she really gained a fan. I knew she was cool before and like everybody liked her, but mm-hmm. I mean, this mixtape, she covers Hotline Bling.
Yes.
It's called Cellular Device, I think.
I like her version better.
I love her version
much better
too. Yes. Sorry, Champagne Poppy. Her version is way better.
Yeah. But,
yeah, so that's my second pick. What's yours?
My second pick is by a Chilean DJ / indie art
Otro?
Child.
Another Chilean?
Another Chilean. Wow. I have two Chilean. I almost picked a third Chilean just because they keep releasing good stuff. This is
that Chile on the mind, boy?
Yes. El que hambre tiene, en pan piensa.
Oh!
So this is from the album called Sirens, and this is Nicolas Jar. No. What do you think?
I like that.
He is he's a badass. I also saw him this year performing in Albuquerque, and I went with a couple of friends, and when we got out of the concert, they said that wasn't a concert, that was an art piece, because it was just one single reflector behind him and a couple of lights, that's it, and it was perfect. And I was doing a little bit of research on Nicolas Jar, and he is the son of Alfredo Jar, and Alfredo Jar is this badass artist also from Chile, but he's very famous for a big logo of Logo for America. Is one of the pieces that he did. You can find it in the website of the Guggenheim. But when you see the actual cover of Sirens, you see that it's a map of the United States, uh-huh. And it says, "This is not America." Oh, this is America. This is not America. And it's a comment with one of the things that we talked about here before, the fact that, like I always say, the U.S., right? Instead of saying I'm an American or I'm from the U.S., et cetera, et cetera. This America-centric idea that we are a representation of the whole entire continent. Mm. When America represents, again, the whole entire continent, not just the United States, it's a wonderful piece. So now that I know that Nicolas Jar is the dad of, is the son of Alfredo Jar, now I see all these themes about the dad's art that I'm starting to see in the music of Nicolas Jar. Including this this song. This song is called No, and it is based on a referendum. La palabra no. And it is based on a referendum that was put on the ballot in Chile in 1988 on whether Chile should continue to be ruled by General Augusto Pinochet or not. So the song, it's a development between a conversation with him, between him and his neighbor. And it says, yes, ya dijimos no, pero el sí está en todo. The idea that no matter what happens, things are not going to change. Mm. And one of the lyrics says, you don't have to see the future to know what's coming. And he says that over and over again. And I wanted to bring that song not only because I put it on repeat when I was writing. Yeah. I listened to it for months. But also, it's so telling of what was happening towards the end of this repressive era in Chile, but at the same time, it's so telling of what's hopefully not to happen here in the United States with Donald Trump. So there's this themes about beginning and ending of a very, very repressive era that makes it very weary, very strange sort of songs, but also done in a brilliant way. Only Nicholas Jarre can do it. He also had a band called Dark Side, and I saw them live, and again, seeing them is just like seeing an art piece develop in an hour and a half. And again, it's one of my favorite albums of the year, but also one of my favorite songs. And I'll put some of the links of the Nicholas of Alfredo Jarre's art. I'll also put the links of some of his other side projects, because I encourage everybody to listen to Nicolas. Awesome shit.
That's awesome. I can't wait to listen.
Yes.
All right, now the next song I chose is from an album I've talked about multiple times on the podcast. It's from Solange's Seat at the Table.
Oh my God.
Hit it!
First one's a fool, who'll be the fool now? Who's gonna get in line? First one to go, first one to put the way. Then they will never find. Let's go alone, free from the mother mind. Come on, alone.
I love that song.
Good times.
Yeah, that song was actually written in honor of Junie Morrison. He was part of the Ohio Players. He's like one of the godfathers of funk. So it's a fun song, but it also has a serious message. And that's what I like about it. And that's what I like about the entire album. Like, that album is unapologetically black.
Yeah.
Right? And like I said about the Erykah Badu album, like I said about Anti, the album is just one big piece of music to me.
Yeah.
Right? Seat at the Table more than the other two, I think. Mm-hmm. In the interludes in that album are amazing.
They connect the whole entire
thing. Yes. They connect the songs together perfectly. They engage you, which usually when you hear interludes in some of these whack ass albums, they're just like little funny skits or something. But these
work
beautiful.
You know, and one of the albums that I've been listening to a lot right now, it's Velvet Rope by Janet Jackson. And she does that too. She connects all the songs. And sometimes there's a disconnect between song to song. But there's like the little interludes that connect the whole entire thing. So after listening to Velvet Rope and coming back to Solange, it makes sense. It's like a thing, you know?
Yeah, and I like how soft she sings, right? Mm-hmm. But what she's saying is really powerful in most of the songs.
And as you said, unapologetic completely.
Yeah. And so, for example, this song, Junie, it's about cultural appropriation and how everybody wants to bleed. I'm not going to say, I was going to do a Paul Mooney joke, but I shouldn't say those words. But everybody wants to be black, but nobody wants to do the work, right?
Correct.
Like, because it's a cool thing to be, right? So one of the lines is from one of the verses, you want to be the teacher, but you don't want to go to school, don't want to do the dishes, just want to eat the food, right? Mm. So it's just, you know, little things here and there that make pretty big statements in the entire album. And we got two albums from the Knowles sisters this year.
Oh my God.
We've been blessed. We've been blessed. And
the best part is that you will never know that they're related. They're such different albums, but at the same time, with this unapologetic blackness to them, which is, it was so good. So good.
Yeah.
What I like about this album is how much we listen to it together.
Over and over and over again.
Every time I listen to this album, I think of us gluing paper onto a wall in the museum. So it has a special place now.
Yeah.
And also with Michaela. I always think of Michaela when I listen to this.
Really?
Now. Yeah, because she loves this album. She's always like, it's time for Solange. I'm like, okay, girl, let's do it.
Yeah, it's a great album. And you want to know something, though? I can't I can't watch the music videos because se pasa.
¿Por qué?
Se pasa la Solange.
¿Por qué muy romántica?
Well, I just think it's too much. Like, it just reminds me of like art school people and they're like trying to be really deep in their imagery.
Like very, very, ooh. Yes.
Like, but I get it. I get what she's doing.
Like she's in the desert posing.
Well, you know, like theater, like... I listen to RuPaul's podcast a lot and it's like something he says all the time is like the reason he doesn't like musical theater a lot of the times is because people take themselves so seriously in musical theater.
Oh my God.
When really what they're doing is really funny, you know? So it's like art that takes itself too seriously.
It's a turnoff. It is.
When I listen to it, I don't think that. I think, wow, this is beautiful. But sometimes when I watch it, I'm like, oh, damn, she's taking herself too seriously. When she's doing some really funny things in the video sometimes.
Yeah. It's. What is the name of that that we're talking about? That post?
I don't know.
You know, the smoke?
The dab?
Yeah, the dab. So it's almost like she's doing the dab in the middle of the White Sands in New Mexico. Whoa. And then the dab in the middle of, like, I don't know, Los Canales de Venecia. It's just like, ugh, okay. But the fashion.
Yeah.
I talk about this with Maddie. Maddie's like, I just want to dress like her. Everything she wears, even the fucking ridiculous stuff.
Yeah.
I'm all about it.
Totally.
I'm all about it. Yeah. Solange is, some people say this, she surpassed her sister, but I'm not saying it. I'm not going to say it.
You better watch yourself.
I need to be careful.
I hope you ain't allergic to bee stings. Damn, amazing. Bitch. You better be careful what you say.
Amazing album.
All right. Where are we? Number three?
Yes.
So now it's your last best song pick?
Correct.
Cool.
I am going to share a song by my Beatles. I have so much
Cafe
to say,
to
girls.
Coops.
It's a song that came out at the first minute of, speaking of being that, you know, it came out at the first minutes of 2017, Mexico time. So I received it in 2016. So it's already the best song of 2016.
Oh, see, you were giving me shit for the Erykah Badu album.
No, geographically speaking, I'm all good.
So this song just came out.
It came out like a couple hours ago.
No.
It came out at midnight in Mexico City, which was 10 p.m. in Vegas. So I'm counting it as a 2000 song.
Awesome.
And it's 2016 song. But anyway, let's listen to it. This is El Futuro by my favorite band, Café Tacuba. And again, it came out as a single. They gave us another single, Un Par de Lugares. Mm-hmm. This was in a couple of months ago. And now this is the second song, and it's like a tease for their new album. We haven't got an album from them like since 2012.
Damn.
And everybody's just waiting. But I gotta say that this is probably one of my favorite Café Tacuba songs, period. As soon as I heard it, it reminds me of the opening song of Rey, El Aparato.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and that's one of the things I like about Café Tacuba, that they combine their electronic stuff with something that is very regional to certain areas of Mexico. Mm-hmm. So when you listen to El Aparato, which is a strange, like almost magic surrealist song, story about a guy that has been abducted by aliens, then it has huapango, right, in the background.
What's huapango?
Huapango is a sort of rhythm or like music that comes from La Huasteca, from the Gulf, the Huasteca of the Gulf of Mexico. So it's almost like very Veracruzano type of music with a little guitar. I forget the name. You can tell that I'm not a music person with a little guitar. You've heard that
mandolin?
Like, No sé cómo se llama. Oh. Like the you hear it in Ojalá que llueva café en el campo.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That and I was reading, because I'm reading their biography right now, that they always been interested in this type of music. And when they were recording the second album, the first or second album in LA, mm-hmm. they actually took classes to learn how to play that instrument.
Oh, cool.
It's interesting how they learned that in the United States, but they are from Mexico. They are from a suburb called Satélite. And since the beginning, they're like, we need to get out of this almost like gringo-like suburb and go into Mexico City and explore our roots. So Café Tacuba, from the beginning, it's that. And this song, to me, is one of the first songs in a long time that is going back to that, to a group of kids. I mean, even though they're like in their 40s and 50s, mm-hmm. a group of kids that love Kraftwerk, right? They love all this experimental German electronic stuff, and they want to combine it with huapango. With this is like a cumbia. This is like an acid cumbia, I'm gonna call it. People Ooh. Can quote me with that. And oh man, and it's also a perfect song to open and close the year, because it's so dark, uh-huh. but at the end...
Ay, es que eres muy dark.
Payasa. Cago murciélagos. So it's so it's very dark, but at the same time, one of the lines is, el futuro es hoy. So it's like, okay, yes, we had a shitty ass 2016, but el futuro es hoy. Like, it's time to act.
Yeah.
So it really gives us a message. So they knew exactly what they were doing, and they knew exactly that they had to release it at the beginning of 2017. It is the shit, man. I mean, it became my favorite song of the year as the second I heard the opening.
And the doom, whole album doom, is doom, out doom, now?
Doom. No, not yet.
No, just the single?
Just a single. We only have two singles, so we're waiting.
Okay. What is it called again? Just
El Futuro. That's the name of the single.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And the other, I recommended this song to Un Par de Lugares, mm-hmm. and that's another single. So we only have two. I think it should be. They said that it's gonna be out in the spring of this year. So mm-hmm. cross your fingers that they come to town, because I'm gonna go out.
So you're going by yourself. I already know. As soon as you get there, you're gone.
Like, caigo en un abismo de pasión.
You do. Last time I went to see them, I was like, thank God your sister was there. Shout out, Osiris. Because I was like, I guess we're just going to stand over here while Emmanuel has an out-of-body... Babelito's having an out-of-body experience
Bitch,
in the corner.
I push everybody out of my way. I don't give a shit.
Oh, I know.
Because anyway... Let's go with your last song.
No, I have a question about that. I already did my last song. Café Tacuba is a place too, right?
Café Tacuba, it's a bar in
what
Socorro.
Came first?
Café the bar.
And then
and
the
even
band
there's
after
a song
it?
In the first album, El Café Tacuba. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and then they came out with that. They were looking for a name. I don't know exactly, because it's weird how they come out with that name, but. But yeah, it's very Mexico City. More than very Mexico, it's very Mexico City.
So they named themselves after the bar.
Yeah, and then later, just to be hipsters, I guess, they changed the Tacuba, the U, to a V. So it's Café Tacuba.
Probably because they were being sued by the bar.
Oh.
I don't know.
They don't say that in the book.
I know, I'm just saying, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just like Santa Gold. Mm-hmm. She's Santi Gold now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Somebody else had the name. Yeah,
I have no idea about that. You're going to hear me talk about Café Tacuba a lot in this podcast.
Okay, next. Let's see.
No. When we were talking about putting together the podcast, I told Fabi, I said, we got to do an episode just about Café
Tacuba.
We'll do one. But I have to finish my book. I'll finish my book.
You have
official
book.
So good.
All right. Well, I am going to talk about my... favorite album of the year now. So we moved on from our favorite songs, favorite album.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an album that I've listened to probably hundreds of times this year. And I fucking can't get enough of it. It is K Tronada's 99.9%.
Perfection.
It's hard to let it go, let it fall away, you never would. It seems so much more, so intense, so you never find a way to forget, to be unconditional. We don't have to fight.
back, side to side. That album is amazing. That was a little clip from Together,
mm-hmm.
which is not the first song, but one of my faves. Luna George is on there.
Yeah,
I never heard of her until this album. That's what I love about this album, is that I'm discovering a lot of other artists through the songs. Because K Tronada is a producer. He's mm-hmm. Haitian Canadian.
Okay.
Another Canadian. Champagne Poppy's Canadian too.
Yes.
And he lives in Montreal. And actually, shout out to my friend Thomas. He's the one that let me know about him, because his girlfriend lives in Montreal and he's always going up there. And it's a beautiful album, like I said, from beginning to end. Everything kind of flows into each other.
Yeah.
And it's
so well mixed.
It's beautifully mixed, and it's so gay. Like,
is he gay?
I think he's bisexual.
Hashtag Frank Ocean.
Uh-huh. Why is... You have a big crush on that fool, don't you? Anyway, I like so many of the songs, but I'm just going to pick a couple to highlight. Another one that I really like is called Light Spots,
mm-hmm.
and it is actually sampled from... this Brazilian artist, her name is Gal Costa,
mm-hmm.
And the song is Pontos de Luz, so it's just, or Pontos de Luz,
because
it's Portuguese. Yeah, so let's listen to a little bit of that. So gay!
Oh my god. It's so good. And you know what? And
it's so good.
It's so telling, because it is almost like a mixtape.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with Erykah Badu, doing one of the mixtapes this year is Chance the Rapper as well. So
yeah.
All these people are putting out these mixtapes, and they're better than the actual albums they produce. But K Tronada, I got to see them in Life is Beautiful. You were too tired to wake up, because you did that whole gigantic
mm-hmm.
piece at Life is Beautiful. But it was amazing. I don't think kids there didn't even
understand.
Know what they were watching. Yes, it was amazing.
I want to go to one of the shows.
Yes, he mixes the songs, and they keep going on for a long time. But you just get into it.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Shout out to K Tronada. I'm such a fan. Anything that he comes out with, I'm there. I think his album is like Canadian Album of the Year.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. Also, one of my favorite artists is on this album, Little Dragon. I love Little Dragon. If you don't know Little Dragon, I think I've seen her like 5 times in concert, like
yeah.
in different...
We saw them together too, right?
I think we saw them
yeah,
together.
The Brooklyn Bowl.
Same venue that we saw Erykah Badu.
Correct.
Badu. Vadu, vadu. Pero the song that's on 99.9% is called Bullets. What a cool song, and what a great message. It's about what's called bullets
mm-hmm.
because of all of the shootings that have been happening around the world. So it's a song about world peace, and does the artist believe in world peace anymore? It's just kind of a statement on the state of the world.
Of the world right now, yes.
Yeah.
Which is
exactly.
It's another recurring theme from a lot of this.
Yeah.
A lot of these albums that we're talking about, but there's so many releases this year were really commentaries of how messed up the state of affairs of the race relations in this country
mm-hmm.
are, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good album. And Little Dragon,
what are they, Swedish?
I have no idea.
I think they're a Swedish electronic band.
They're so good, and people throw so much shade at them. They don't like their albums, but every time I see them, it's like a reventar. Cool. Like, yeah, and they're fantastic.
They were my another one of my favorite albums. I'll give it a shout out. Uh-huh. Is the Gorillaz Plastic Beach album.
And they're on
another concept album where it's about the pollution in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So they're on one of the songs there, and I love...
When I saw Gorillaz, she came out and performed with them. Yes, they had all of the guests come together. Yeah, it was good. It was good stuff.
Okay, drum roll. What is... I bet everybody can guess what your favorite album is.
I wonder what it is. My favorite album, which since it came out, I can't stop listening to it, is...
I know.
Tell me.
Frank Ocean.
It is. It's Frank Ocean, Blunt.
Blonde.
Blonde. Speaking of minimalist music, and this has nothing to do with the state of affair. I mean, the state of the world right now. It's like a completely selfish, all about me and poor me, and I do so much drugs, but I love it, man.
This was a much awaited album. Yeah. Everybody was waiting for this for years.
And that's because everybody, and he kept teasing everybody, like, oh, it's going to come out this summer. No, it's going to come out here. I bought tickets to go see him in LA with my sister, and he pulled out from FYF Fest a week before. I can remember I texted my sister, like, so do we still want to go to this festival? But he's been doing this for years. But finally, he put his shit together, and he released two albums.
Put your shit together. Two albums?
Yes, because one of them is just like a movie that he released in conjunction with album with Blonde, and that came out in August 5th. So I've been listening to this since August, and it's just, again, well, let's listen to the opening song, which anyway.
For a check, tell them it ain't likely. Say she need a ring like Carmelo. You must be on that wild.
She says she needs a ring like Carmelo. She must be on a ride like Othello. Like, these are good lyrics. And I take it back. He does give a shout out to Trayvon in the album. So there's a little, there's a political undertone to the album as well. And this song in particular almost gives you this idea of how frustrated fans were with him, and a lot of people gave so much shade to him after the beginning.
Some people would not listen to the album because they waited for it for too long.
Not only that, they waited for it for so long, and Channel Orange is such a perfect poppy R&B album that when this came out, people didn't get it, and they, like, we waited this long for
is
this
that
album
the one with- A potato flew across the
yes.
roof.
No. Exactly. With super rich kids. And it's just, it's a really good album. But I read an interview that said that he recorded Channel Orange in like 2 weeks. And this alone, for example, the song Why Ferrari, I think he had like 70 or 50 different versions, something crazy like that. So it goes to tell you that he's been working on it for a long time. I know he moved to London and he became like a nobody and just went into this introspect journey, you know, and really worked really, really hard on detailing these albums. The background of all the songs is just like guitar.
Yeah.
It's just guitar solos, like, to die for. And, and also, he also gave us the gift of Beyonce, because we have in the song Pink and White, you have in the background.
Beyonce's
chorus.
In the background of the song?
You showed the love.
Say what up to Daddy. Say what up to Life.
Give me something sweet, which I might like immortality. This is life, life, immortality.
So again, this song is called Pink and White, and yes, we have just a little bit of Beyoncé, not too much.
Beyoncé Santísima.
So she blessed the album with her presence, and it's a perfect song. Again, this album is hard to get into, but it takes one or two times.
I'm going to be honest, I listened to it a few times, and it's not my... No,
but I heard
it's not my cup of tea, but I did listen to it a few times.
But yeah, dude, like I always hear you like humming a lot of the songs
because you sing it all the time and you don't even know that you're singing it. Like you're just walking and you're singing the songs
because it's in my head. And I thought I was gonna get bored of this album, but I think the simplicity makes it long lasting. So I think I'm gonna be listening to it. Plus, also it came out around the same time I moved to Albuquerque. So there's this, I don't want to be dramatic, but I'm going to.
It's
so,
okay. Everybody knows you're dramatic already.
So there's this sense of like loneliness to it that I really got into just being hours at the office writing and just listening to this over and over again. It's the perfect soundtrack to my life right now.
Extra, extra.
Oh, how el drama me corre por las venas, payasa.
Wow. Why you keep calling me payasa and you know I hate that?
No, you have to get used to it.
No.
No, me vale madres.
I don't call you something that you don't like to be called.
Dime.
You respect me, okay? Dime. Manny.
Well, okay. No, wait, pero no es lo mismo.
Sí, es lo mismo.
It's not, yeah, you're calling Manny everybody. I call payasa to everybody.
It doesn't matter. You got to respect my wishes.
Andale pues. So I can go on and on talking about Blonde, but let's go to our favorite album.
Okay.
I wonder what it will be.
Well, we have to mention Beyoncé's Lemonade. I mean, we haven't listened to we're going to be honest here. We haven't listened to it in a while.
Because Solange's
album came out.
Yes.
But when we were thinking, like, are we going to choose Solange's album or Beyoncé's? It was a really tough decision for our number one album.
Like, there were hours of debate.
Hours of debate. Yeah, exactly.
We had a fight and everything.
But we decided we went to go see Beyoncé because of that album. Mm-hmm. We paid a lot of money to sit in the nosebleed sections we paid a lot of money to sit in the nosebleed section of a fucking NFL stadium to watch her perform Lemonade. So,
and it,
I think
is it the best concert
deserves,
of your life?
Huh?
Can you say it is the best concert of your life?
Girl, I've seen Patti LaBelle live. I cannot. That nothing else compares.
Yes, yes, yes.
I've seen Chaka Khan. I've seen Aretha Franklin.
But I mean, I'm overall. Because I was thinking that when I was there, I was like, this is an incredible moment. I just don't know if I can say this is the best concert of my life.
At the moment, it's like almost too much to handle. Just that it's just.
We saw the beginning leg of the tour, too.
If it was more intimate, it would probably be yes, for sure.
Like the cagas.
Yeah, but then I would probably be dead. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would have just shit myself.
Rest in peace.
And, like, Inside Out Boy, just like, right there.
Derretido y desparramado.
They would have just brought a wheelbarrow and a shovel. And
Vámonos, Justin.
We lost another one. Yeah. So it's actually really great that we sat so far away. Can you imagine?
I keep thinking of you not being able to breathe when she
came
out.
I couldn't breathe. It was an amazing concert. The Mrs. Carter tour, though, I think was better because of the shock value. Like, I didn't understand what I was watching.
Yeah.
I was more prepared when I went to go see the Formation tour.
But it's so now. Like, Formation was so now, which is the precarious thing, right? Was it created because of what's happening, what everything was happening, or is just it's all developing at the same time? So when I was there, I was like, fuck, like, this is, I'm going to remember this moment for the rest of my life, but oof. Good stuff.
What's your favorite song on the album?
My favorite song of the album, I go back and forth. Like, I change every month, but All Night. It's just a perfect song.
All Night?
Mm-hmm.
How does it go?
Stupid.
Can you sing a little bit?
Kiss up and rub up and pillow. Oh, my God. It has been recently pointed out to me that I sing out loud without even thinking about it. So now I'm very precarious about when and where I sing. But, oh, that song, it's good.
Yeah,
it's cheesy as fuck, but it's good.
Yeah, totally.
But I think that's the thing with this album and the Solange album, that Don't Touch My Hair song, I can't stand. I love that album, but that song,
really?
It just seems so passive, and it's like, don't touch, like, let's move into the next song. And this song of Beyonce All Night is cheesy, but it's just like, I don't know. What's your favorite song?
I go back and forth. I think that I still, like I mentioned in episode 3, Beyonce Santissima.
Amen.
Daddy Lessons is badass. Like a country song, Beyonce. Country song on the album.
The Grammys refused to nominate it as a country song. They didn't accept it.
It was a fucking country song.
Yes.
When I heard it, like I told you before, I had to push pause. I had to just like go outside, go for a walk, and come back. I was like, damn. This bitch really is doing country right now.
Yeah.
And to me, it was a way of reclaiming country as a black.
And she did it live, art, too, right? This year. Yeah.
Oh, my God. She did it at the CMAs,
yes,
right?
With the Dixie Chicks. I don't, like, everybody.
Oh, damn. So good. Middle fingers up. Oh,
exactly.
Shit.
Oh, my God.
That was awesome. And then, yeah, didn't they, like, take it off of social media because there were so many racist comments on
yeah.
it and, like, get her
and
off
they,
stage?
They
and
brought it
and
back. But, yeah, it was. And now that version is on Spotify with the Dixie Chicks, and it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Is it?
Though? Yeah, I mean.
Blast from the past.
I'm not a fan, but I remember when everybody was just hating on them, and they're badasses. They never backed up. They're like, yeah, like Bush is an asshole and he's stupid, and that's the truth.
Yeah.
And the fact that they perform with Beyonce, because it's not only just the statement from Beyonce, but it's also a statement from the Dixie Chicks to the country music people. So I have mad respect for them.
Wow. So in review, my favorite songs were Solange's Junie, mm-hmm. Erykah Badu's Phone Down, I Can Make It But Your Phone Down, and the third one was Quack, 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 Quack by my girl Rihanna. Yours were?
Mine was Alexander and Wanter's Manifiesto from the album Amiga, Nicholas Jar's song No from the album Sirens, and Café Tacuba's new single from their upcoming album, and the song is called Futuro.
Ooh.
But there's so many songs I left out. One of the songs and bands that I or music that I talked about a lot this year was El Lado Negro. It's just we talked about it before, so I didn't include it. But it's also Lido Pimienta came out with a badass album, and also waiting for years for that album. There's so much. Also in Mexico, there's like a resurgence of this like artsy slash. Electronic music that is coming back. There's that, again, I wish we had time to talk about it, but we didn't. But I'm very proud of my top three.
And I listened to a bunch of albums that didn't come out this year. The Bomba Stereo album was one of them.
And we saw them too.
And another album was Pop Negro by El Guincho. That came out when?
Oh, God. Like
a long time ago? I don't know why. I just started listening to it again.
Yeah.
I really love that album.
So good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I stick with my top album though, K Tronada.
K Tronada is a good album.
He's the shit.
And I think that the albums that we chose is the shit that we listened to nonstop this year. And that was K Tronada. That was, for me, it was Frank Ocean. And together it was Beyonce.
Well, that has been our special edition Radio Loncha episode. And like we mentioned, this is an idea based on one of our favorite podcasts, Radio Menea. If you haven't listened to them, go on iTunes and subscribe and listen to their Best of 2016. songs. They're so good.
So good.
Always on point.
Yeah, I love the balance between mediums, very bachata, like her bachata obsession, and the more pop side to the show. And then you have Veronica, who brings like a lot of cool underground music that I've never heard of. So yes, please listen to Radio Menea. And thank you, ladies, for inspiring us.
Yes, thank you so much. And speaking of ladies who inspire us, next week for our Mordida Minisode, we're going to bring you a special edition brought to you by the Chulita Vinyl Club. So if you haven't heard about Chulita Vinyl Club, Google it, locas. And as always, if you have any questions, please email us at latinoswholunch@gmail.com. You can visit our website, latinoswholunch.com. And don't forget, guys, it's so important that you subscribe on iTunes and rate us 5 stars.
5 stars only?
And write your reviews. We're loving the reviews. They're so inspiring. They just keep us going. Thank you so much to everybody that's donated to Latinos Who Lunch. I almost have enough money to buy a travel mic.
That's awesome.
So that we can actually record on the scene when we're out and about.
Yes. Interviews.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So rate us 5 stars and leave us a nice review. And as always, I'm Fabi Fab.
And this is Babelito.
Bye.
Okay, ladies, now let's get information. I slay. Okay, ladies, now let's get information. You know you that bitch when you cause all this conversation. Always stay gracious. Best revenge is your paper.